Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? It is good to be here today. Why don't we pray and then get to work? Not sure why I say that every week, because we do the same thing every week. So let's do what we did last week now. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. We thank you because you love us. And even though we forget it, God, every time we open this book, we're reminded of your love because you speak to us. You don't have to do that, but you do. So God, I pray that as we read the words of Christ this morning, that you will remind us that it is you, through your Spirit, speaking to us, and that we would listen. Help us, God, to open our hearts to what you say. Help me explain well, and help us apply this to our lives so that we will be changed through your power. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So we are looking at a little mini-series in Matthew 5. The little mini-series is called How to Obey God, How to Truly Obey God. What does it really mean to obey God? What does it look like when we don't just do, when we don't just try to do what God, what we think God, you know, the letter of the law, technically I'm obeying, but when we actually try to do what God really wants us to do, when we try to understand what is God's desire for us, instead of just, you know, checking off some boxes and saying I'm good now, when we try to do what God actually wants us to do, what does that look like? And what we've been seeing is that Jesus has been taking us he's been calling us to change the question that we ask as it relates to obeying God. The question of, what do I have to do? How much do I have to do? How much can I get away with? Changing that question to, what does God truly want from me? What is God's desire for me as it relates to different areas? He takes us to the heart of God and to the spirit of God's law. And as we've seen, as we looked over the different areas, it's not been easy. It's difficult to look at what God truly wants. It's easier to be more of a legalist to say, how do I technically obey? It's much more difficult to say, what does God truly desire? And what does that look like in my life? And just heads up, this week and the next time we look at this, which will be after Father's Day, Lord willing, so this week and then in 2 weeks when we finish up this little series, doesn't get any easier. These are difficult teachings. So let's dive in and see what Jesus says. Before we read the text, we'll be in Matthew 5:38. But before we read the text, I want to talk a little bit about our lives, because here's what Jesus is going to talk about in this text. How do we respond when people offend us? When we're insulted, when we're hurt, when people damage us, when people do things that offend us, how do we respond back to that? What's our reaction? Because it happens, right? Whether it's small things like, you know, I thought we were friends, and then they didn't invite me to that party, or why does that person always just look at me funny whenever I walk in? Why did they always look at me like that? I don't think they like me. Or maybe you know that person kind of thinks I'm their enemy. I don't deserve that. Why do they kind of have like this feeling towards me? I don't like that. Why? Or somebody, you know, they talk about me, and I know they talk about me because other people are nice enough to tell me that they're talking about me. Thank you very much. So I know that they're talking about me. That's not right. That's not nice. No. Or they've taken something from me. Something physically they've taken from me, or I've been wronged by them because I've been robbed by them. They've insulted me to my face. They've said things about me to me that maybe there's 10% of truth, but that 90% that isn't true, just why would they do that? Why? That's not right. Or they would never admit it, but that I know that person got me in trouble at work. That's why I got written up. That's why my boss is like on my case now, because they said something. I know they did. They got me in trouble. People offend us. They don't give us the respect that we think we deserve. They get angry with us. They blow up at us and yell at us. And then what do we do with that? Because it happens in every situation in life. And you think about it, at work, we're unjustly demanded to do things. It's like, well, I've already done so much. And that person over there, why am I the one who always has to carry everybody else's slack? And then I don't even get what I deserve. I should get the raise that that person got promoted. And or in our marriages, we sin against each other. We don't treat each other the way we should. In our friendships, we take advantage of each other. Not y'all, other people take advantage of us, right? We get taken advantage of in our friendships. Our children, parents and children, both ways offend each other by what they say, what they do. I was going to say I don't want to make this too personal, but actually I do. Can you think of times when you've been offended? All right, something's just right there, isn't it? It's just like, why did you bring that up on a Sunday morning? I was happy. Why? Okay, see, when we are offended by other people, when other people hurt us and do things they shouldn't do to us, we think that we can and should get even. There's something in us that says, well, of course, that's just. They deserve it. That's what they deserve. They deserve for me to do that back to them because they did that to me. You're not going to talk to me like that. Where does the phrase, you know what, I should have told him, where does that come from? It's in the moment. If I would have just said that back, then we would have been even because he said that and I said that. And then I would feel like we have every right to get even, that we're justified in getting even. And we don't just think that we have the right to, we think that we should. Like, how are you going to let him talk to you like that? You go say something. We feel like it's wrong to let something go by and not get even. We encourage other people to get even. Something inside of us just comes out of us. We know that we should return the same treatment that we received. Well, not always like good treatment, but when we've been treated bad, we know inside of us that we should give back what we got. If you do something to me, I'm going to do something to you. I should. It would be wrong for me not to. Have you ever felt like that? I mean, don't nod because that's too much confession on a Sunday morning, but we feel it, don't we? We feel justified in doing it. Why? Why do we feel justified? Probably, this is just me speculating, it probably has its roots in the fact that we're made in the image of God, the just judge. So when we are sinned against, we say, that's not right. I need to pay that back. Why do we feel like we should do that? Well, because we feel the injustice because we're made in the image of God. But then we're like everything else in God's image in us, we twist it and we distort it and we put ourselves in God's place. More on that in a few minutes. So we feel like we should take revenge. We try to find ways to get revenge. I'm just going to stop talking to that person. That'll show them. I'm not going to invite them to my thing because they didn't invite me to their thing. You hit me, I'll hit you. You got me in problems. There's that thing coming up next month at work, and I'm gonna orchestrate it so they get in trouble, and then we'll be even. Then they'll see you can't mess with me. I'm saying all this. I mean, you've seen this stuff on television. This isn't like our real life, but just pretend for a minute, okay? You know, have you ever justified a lie by saying, well, they deserved it. They did that to me, and so, of course, I'm not going to tell them the truth. I'm not going to, hey, well, why did you tell that person that thing? Well, because they insulted me first, so I can insult them back. I'm going to take vengeance. We get angry. We berate people. We sometimes stop if we feel like we've been unjustly pushed at work, like I'm doing too much more than everybody else. What do? I'll show them. I'm not going to work as hard. That's right. I'm going to make sure that they have to pull their weight too. We get back at people. We seek vengeance. And here's the real neat way that we do it. Sometimes we don't even do anything. But when something bad happens to the person who did something to us, what do we feel? Oh, isn't that a beautiful, sweet feeling? Oh, they deserve that. We feel happy when bad things happen to them. We wouldn't do anything to them, of course, but then that happens to them, and what do we feel? Well, see, you get what you deserve, right? That's just the way it is. We feel happy and justified in feeling happy. Why? They did it to me first. They deserve it. And it's like saying they deserve it justifies anything. I could punch out all the tires in your car right after church, but if someone else came out and you know saw me and was like, why are you doing that? Well, they deserved it. Oh, okay, well, in that case, that justifies everything. They deserved it. They did that to me for, well, okay, you're right. We feel that that's okay. And it creates this vicious cycle where we're offended, and then we lash back, and then, well, they don't feel like that was justified, and so they lash back at us and get us back, and it creates this vicious cycle. Think about the pain. Think for a minute about the pain in your life that you've received. Has anyone ever taken vengeance against you, whether you deserved it or not? They thought you did, and caused you pain. Then I think about the pain that you've caused other people, whether they deserved it or not, by taking vengeance against them. Jesus comes in and says something totally different from what we feel is right. And in a very short, concise, to the point, without any exceptions kind of way, he just says, this is the way it should be. And here's what he does. He does what he always does in this section of Scripture. He starts with the law and the custom of the people in his time. So, and it maps very close to our custom and the way we feel. So Matthew 5, verse 38, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's, you know, you do it to me, I do it to you. Whatever, we're everything's cool as long as I do to you what you've done to me. Then we're even. And that's actually a phrase that's found in the old law. Look at Exodus. We're going to read several verses, and I've copied them into my notes, so I'm probably going to read faster than if I was actually flopping into the verse. So either look quick or write it down when we do that, and then look for yourself later. Exodus 21, verse 24, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, foot for a foot. Leviticus 24, verse 20, fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, whatever injury he has given a person shall be given to him. Deuteronomy 19, 21, your eye shall not pity, it shall be life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. This is a phrase that was in the law. Now, something interesting with this is that these were actually parts of other more specific instructions. It wasn't just a general phrase where God said, you know, everything that something that happens that you do, that has to be given back to you. No, they were part of specific instructions. If you look in the context of the verses, it's when someone hurts someone else, when someone gives false testimony and wants to have someone else hurt on their behalf, when someone hurts a pregnant woman. These were part of specific instructions. And even more importantly, they were legal instructions. They were instructions on how the civil authorities were supposed to, you know, the magistrates or whoever were the legal people in the town or in the community were supposed to mete out justice. They were legal instructions. They weren't permission for personal vengeance. They were telling the people how justice was supposed to work at a level of their society, in their courts, and their society, in their culture. Not person to person, but what had they done? Well, by the time that had gotten up to Jesus' day, everyone's desire for personal vengeance had led them to take that letter of the law, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, and twist it from being these are legal instructions given to the judges for how to mete out justice in our society to this is what I get to do personally. When I feel like I've been offended, I get to give you back what I've been given. The law says eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. And so technically, I think I'm doing what the law says. They were used, this phrase was used from the law to justify in every circumstance personal vengeance, personal retribution. And then Jesus changes course and he says, instead of looking at what you think you can justify by the letter of the law, taking vengeance, what is God's heart? What does God really want? And what we're going to see as we read it further, what God wants is when I'm offended, I should offer to be offended more instead of taking revenge. I should offer to be offended more instead of taking revenge. Jesus is going to say, do the opposite of what you and I feel is just. Do the opposite of what you feel like you should and can do when you personally are offended. And so the first part, it starts out with, well, let yourself be offended in verse 39. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. I'll just take that little phrase. Do not resist the one who is evil. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I got to pay you back, which means I'm going to resist you being evil to me, and I'm going to get back at you. Jesus said, no, do the opposite. Start by not resisting. Our tendency is to resist when we feel injustice against our person. It's to oppose it, to find a way out. And Jesus says, don't resist the evil person who is offending you personally. That's the context. This is a passive thing. It's stepping back and folding your arms and not defending your personal rights. In and of itself, that's a hard thing. But then he goes on, and it gets so much harder. He's going to say now, offer to be offended more. Look at verse 39 again, the second part. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But, so instead of resisting, so I'm supposed to be passive, but if anyone slaps you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. That's related to the custom of, well, the law that the governing authority, so Rome in this case, could make the people they govern, in this case the Jewish people, carry their burdens so the soldiers could say, hey, I have this big old backpack and my AK-4, well, not AK-40, they're soldier stuff, and they could take a normal person and say, hey, you have to walk 1 mile with this. And it was the law, and there were markers along the road so that people would know how far they had to walk. Give to anyone who begs from you, verse 42, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. See, this goes against our tendency to, okay, when I've been wronged, it's not just that I let myself be wrong, but now be wrong, but now I want to pay back. That's what I feel. I'm supposed to seek out vengeance. That's what I need to do. And Jesus says, no, offer to let yourself be hurt and offended more. This is an active thing. The first part is a passive thing. Fold your arms and let yourself be offended. Let yourself be offended. But this, the second part, is an active thing. Go with him 2 miles. That's an active thing. You take someone would sue you and take your tunic, give them your cloak as well. You, out of you, should come. And it's an active thing. Offer to let yourself be offended more. He doesn't say if they say, no, I'm not going to take your tunic, don't, you know, force it on them, but offer to be offended more. Turn to him the other cheek. Again, don't run out in front of his car and make him hit you, but give him the opportunity to hurt you more. That's an active thing. It's one thing to close your arms and say, okay, I'm not going to fight back. It's another thing to offer to be offended more. Someone has just robbed you and taken something from you. One of your friends is not, you gave them a loan and they didn't pay you back, and then instead of, you know, going after them, and this would be like, okay, I'm supposed to go to them and say, hey, do you want another $100? That's an active, I don't want to, that's not right. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying give more, voluntarily give more of what they unjustly just took from you. Do more, voluntarily do more of what they are unjustly making you do. At work, you know, you're on the team and everybody else is not doing as much and you're being forced to do more, and it's like voluntarily do more than even what they're demanding of you. Let yourself be offended more than what they are doing to you. And he changes the question. When we're offended by people, when people offend us and do things to us and hurt us and insult us and take from us, changes the question from, how can I get them back? How can I make them pay? Like without going to jail or anything. How can I make them, like me going to jail? That's okay if they go to jail. How do I make them pay without me getting in trouble? How do I make them pay? changes that question to, how can I offer to let them hurt me or offend me or take more from me? And when we read this, I don't know about you, my natural reaction is to say, okay, what about? And like to justify and clear up all, you know, like I think of extreme cases, you know, it's like, well, this, that can't be what Jesus is saying because, and then we think of an extreme case, right? Like, well, what about someone who's like broke into my house and with a gun and he's going to kill my whole family? Or what about someone who's been molesting a child for years? Or what? Of course, Jesus doesn't mean let yourself be offended more. Those kind of extreme cases, read the examples. They're not the application that Jesus gives for this text. They're not the application, let someone slap you on the other cheek. That's different from breaking into your home and killing your whole family. I'm not saying it doesn't apply, I'm just saying that's a different application. The kind of application that Jesus gives are the kind of daily offenses that we receive. You know, someone takes your parking lot place and then you drive by and whatever non-Christian thing comes to your mind or your thoughts or actions at that moment. Hey, get them back for that. Well, he's talking about normal daily kind of, that's at least the applications he gives are normal daily kind of offenses that we suffer, not these extreme examples that we put out there. Why? Because, well, I can't remember the last time someone broke into my home with a gun and wanted to kill my whole family. I don't remember that time, but I do remember regularly people hurting me and doing little things that just are wrong to me. That's the kind of stuff. And so if I get hung up on the big old example out here, I miss the true point, which is what do I do on a daily basis when I'm offended? See, Jesus is not, he's talking about taking personal vengeance. He's not talking about doing away with how society punishes wrongdoing. If there's a child being molested or a wife being beaten by her husband, what do? This verse is not about that. You call the police, you call the authorities. This is not about that. This is about me taking personal vengeance when I'm offended on a daily basis by other people. And even still, it doesn't make sense because this goes against my natural instinct. Everything inside of me when I read this and say, okay, is he really saying that I'm supposed to let myself be offended more? Everything inside of me says, no, it's impossible. That really can't be what he's saying. All week long I've wrestled with this because I've been reading it. It's like, that just doesn't sound right. There's no way that's really what Jesus is saying. I can kind of justify standing up here and saying, well, we're supposed to, you know, not fight back. I can cross my arms and not fight back. How can I, with a clear conscience and a straight face, tell y'all that Jesus is saying that we're supposed to seek out letting ourselves be offended more when we've been offended? Like in that moment, it's like, you just stole something from me. Here, take this too. That's not logical. It's not right. There's no way he could be saying that. But read the text. I think that's what he's saying. That's what it seems to me. Today's message is part one of a two-part little piece because in the text that follows this one, marries very well with this text. And I think together they explain each other. But I didn't want to look at them together because I wanted us to feel the weight of what Jesus is saying in this text. It's not just being good to those who are bad to you. It's letting ourselves, seeking out, offering to be offended more than we've already been offended, which is a really hard thing to accept. So you say, why? Why would Jesus say that? Why would he say, don't take revenge, let people offend you, and offer to be offended more? Why would he say that? There's some reasons that come to mind, some that I have scripture to back up, some that I don't. One, maybe he says that because, well, how often have we misinterpreted a situation? Have you ever gotten somebody, or here's one that you'll think of. Has anyone ever like done something to you and you're like, why did you do that? Well, you did that other thing. You're like, oh, no, you totally misunderstood. You just got me back for something I didn't mean to do or I didn't do or I wasn't doing. That's not what happened. How easy it is for us to misinterpret something, but once you've taken revenge and gotten the person back, once you've said those words or done that thing, you can't take that back. You've done it. It's done. Another reason why I think that we're not to take revenge and let other people offend us more is because doing evil, doing wrong to someone because they've done wrong to you is still doing wrong to someone. That's right. That's just, I mean, I don't have a verse for that. I'm sure there is. You can think of one and tell me, and then I'll use it tonight in the message downtown. But that's just like logically. It's like if I do something bad to you, no matter what the reason, I'm still doing something bad to you. That's wrong. I'm not justified in that, no matter what. And the third reason, and there's verses for this, the reason why we're supposed to not take revenge and even let ourselves be offended more and offer to let ourselves be offended more is because we're not God. We're not God. Only He can take revenge. Only He can take can work justice. He is the great King of the universe. Look at Romans 12, verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. That's very clear, right? But give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Honorable. It's more honorable for me to walk away or to give you more when you've unjustly taken from me than to get my revenge. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. It's like if verse 17 isn't clear enough, let me just say it a little more clearly. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. He's referencing Deuteronomy 32, 35. Vengeance is mine, and recompense. For the time when their foot shall slip, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and their doom shall come swiftly. God is the one who gets to take vengeance, not you and I. Oh, only He can judge justly. Oh, only He is the just judge, and that's why He's the one who can take vengeance. Hey, look at James 4, verse 12. There is only one lawgiver and judge, He who is able to save and destroy. Now listen, but who are you to judge your neighbor? When I take vengeance against you and take the law into my own hands, and I yell back, I hit back, I do back, I'm putting myself in God's place. And that's a dangerous place to be in. That's why we're not to take vengeance. That's why we're to let ourselves be sinned against. And the biggest reason, I think to me the most powerful one, is because that's what Jesus did. If we're to be Christians, if we're to live in imitation of Christ, we're to do what He did. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at how it uses Christ's example as a reason for us to suffer offense against ourselves. For what credit is it when you sin? 1 Peter 2 verse 20. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called. To what? To suffer. To suffer and endure suffering. Why? Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in His steps. That's why we're supposed to let ourselves be sinned against, because that's what Christ did. Verse 22, He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. They insulted Jesus, they hurt Him, and He let them. And then He turned around, and but through His death and resurrection, He opened up the way for even the people who hurt Him and offended Him and killed Him to find peace with God. Isn't that incredible? Jesus suffered, and we're called. That's what you've been called to follow His example. And that's what we're supposed to do when we're offended, when we're insulted, when we're hurt. It's not resisting, and then it's offering to be hurt more. That's what Jesus said to do, and then that's what He did. And when we do that in our lives and in our example, listen, we give God great glory. God receives glory when we suffer and when we don't fight back and when we let ourselves be offended more than what, when we offer to be offended more. Why? Because we're imitating Jesus. Because as we hold on to God and imitate Christ, we show Him to be great and good and just. So, what should we do? I think in a word, we should seek peace instead of vengeance. We should seek peace instead of vengeance. If we are people who will seek after God, then we should be people who should seek peace. We should seek peace instead of vengeance. And that starts by finding peace with God. And this is the inverse of everything we've said today. This is the opposite, the flip side of everything we've said today, because we've been talking today about us being offended by other people. But flip that for a minute. We've offended God by rebelling against Him. Every sin we've committed has been an offense against God. We've offended Him over and over again, gravely, and we deserve to be eternally punished by God, by Him pouring out His wrath on us. That's what we deserve. That is just. But in Christ, by the cross, God offers us a way to escape His justice, to not receive His vengeance. We receive that peace and that reconciliation when we accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord by repenting and being baptized, when we give ourselves to Him. And God treats us in a way that we don't deserve to be treated. He passes His wrath, instead of onto us, onto His Son. If you've never made the decision to give yourself to Christ, and today we've been thinking about how other people offend you, but now you think about how you've offended God, what would keep you, what is keeping you from making that decision to telling Jesus, I want you to be my Savior and Lord. I'm going to give myself to you, and I'm going to accept peace from you instead of the vengeance that I deserve. And in this community, when you're ready to make that decision to repent and be baptized, tell someone, and you can do it. You'll be guided through the process. If you've made that decision, how do you seek peace instead of vengeance? Let me ask you a couple questions. In your life, who's offended you? In your daily routine, in your week, when are you regularly offended, insulted, hurt by other people? We're called to let it go by, to not resist, not in word or not in deed, to let ourselves be offended. How could you, when you're offended, how could you not resist? What would it look like for you to not resist when you're offended? What does that look like in your life with the people who bother you and sin against you? And then we're called to go one step further. We're called to offer to be offended more in those moments by those people personally. So the question is, for you in your life, for the people that sin against you, how can you offer to be offended more?